Amen. Thank you, Colin. And thank you, worship team. It's a blessing to be able to wake up on a gloomy morning and come in and sing praise to God. So good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Tony, for those of you that don't know me. It's really good to be here with you all this morning. It gives me joy to be able and see each one of you here. I know a lot of people say, man, it's such a blessing to be here. Just seeing your faces here is a blessing to me. And to everyone around you. So thank you guys for being here this morning. As the summer winds down, I'm glad we're continuing to gather as a church plant. And I say the summer's winding down, and so I hope it. We still have some warm days ahead of us. We'll see, but I don't know. Oh, also, we're changing some things around. I always forget. Now our kids' time. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids. So we'll send you guys out. We've got some great crafts and Bible time for you too. So. Off to kids' church they go. You guys are such a quiet bunch. So well behaved. So good job, parents. Yeah. So if you're new here this morning, I just want to say a special welcome to you. Thanks for being here this morning. If you would reach into your listening guide and grab that formal-looking piece of paper called the Connect Card, and you guys probably get tired of my joke, but we're not going to sell your information or use it to fundraise for the church plant, but if you would please take that and fill it out, that's the best way for us to just get a little information from you to know that you are here. And if you would put that in the offering box, or if you don't take communion today, if you would give that to myself or Pastor Colin, that's the best way for you to get connected with the life of our church and hear a little bit about our story. We started as a new church plant, and we're in our eighth month now, seeking to be salt and light here in the community of Old Brooklyn. So without further ado, go ahead and grab your Bibles or your listening guides this morning. It's going to be a little different this week, so I've got the listening guide there to help with following along, and it'll be a little different today. And the reason it's going to be different is because we're starting a new series. It's a series that's called, and asks the question, what is a healthy Christian? What is a healthy Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And, you know, typically we work chapter by chapter. You guys have been here. We work verse by verse. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke for some months now because we want to hear what God's Word has to say and not impose our own meaning upon it. The Bible has its own meaning as it points to who Jesus Christ is. But we've been in Luke for a while now. And if you remember, we took a break. We did a series a little while back called What is the Church? Especially for us as a new church plant to go through and say, okay, what does God's Word say to us about what we need to be as a church? So we took a break from Luke. So here again, we're going to take a break from Luke in the months ahead, and we're going to spend about 3 months talking through and seeing what God's Word has to say to us about what it means to be a healthy Christian. It's really important that we understand that. It's something we should be concerned about. And a lot of people have many questions, different questions about, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? And how do you know that you're a healthy follower of Christ? So I find it helpful, before we talk about what makes a healthy Christian, to think about it in terms first of, well, what makes a healthy person, right? So this first picture here, I always try to have a little something for you guys. You know, it's like going to the doctor. Imagine going to the doctor's office, right? You get checked in. You wait forever in that tiny little waiting room. If you're not sick before you get to that waiting room, you are definitely going to be sick by the time you get out of that waiting room. Everyone's, you know, hacking their guts up and passing around magazines that are just like, you know, contagion hotbeds. You know, you're like, I'm not touching or reading anything, you know. It's got like a hypochondriac's nightmare, right? You know, but after you've waited for a while, they finally, you know, call your name. The doctor will see you now. But the doctor really doesn't see you now. You go to another smaller room, and you wait in the small room for what seems like an eternity. And then finally the doctor comes in, and he gives you a checkup, basically. You know, one of the first things the doctor checks is your heart, right? It seems funny. But they got to make sure your heart is beating. How's the health of your heart? And they take that stethoscope, right, and breathe deep. And you're like, okay, yep, the heart's still there. We still got the pulse going. That's good. And, you know, he checks other things like other diseases, see if you have any infections or a cold or a flu, checks your white blood cell count to see if you have any types of cancer or anything serious like that. But beyond the physical health, the doctor checks out your mental health, right? He checks out your mental well-being. You know, how's your will to live? Are you stressed out? Are you hyper? Are you the opposite of that? Are you depressed? Are you losing your zeal for life? You know, your doctor checks on how you're doing mentally. And then after all that, after he checks your body and your mind, you know, the doctor gives you the doctor's orders, right? He gives you a prescribed path of treatment, or he gives you the medicine that you need. And, you know, really the doctor's recommendations, they really are orders, you know? There's a comedian who says, you know, his cholesterol was high and his doctor told him to watch what he ate, and he comes back in and he checks his numbers and the doctor goes, "You didn't do what I told you to do, did you?" And the comedian says, "It's the only time he feels like a kid." And he says, no, I didn't, doctor. You know, and he's got Burger King coupons falling out of his pocket. You know, "I don't know how my cholesterol's high, doc." You know, they're really the doctor's orders that he gives us when we're in there. So why are we talking about going to the doctor, right? Well, as much as we're concerned about our physical health, the Bible says we should be even more concerned about our spiritual health, even more concerned about our spiritual condition, because physical life is important, but spiritual life, it's of even greater significance because it deals really with our eternal life, whether we have it or whether we don't, and also what kind of spiritual life we have here in the years that we have on this earth. You know, we have souls. We're made to be in right relationship with God and to be in right relationship with each other. Life's not just about the things that you have. It's not about what you have or don't have in it, but how you live, how you go through life. That's what life is really about, right? And just like the doctor has tools for gauging our physical health, the Bible gives us tools or instructions, if you will, for gauging our spiritual health. It addresses our souls. But the problem is oftentimes, just like we forget to take care of our physical bodies, we don't pay attention to our physical health or to what we eat. You know, we also forget to take care of our spiritual health. You know, just like someone asks you the question, "When's the last time you went to the doctor or the dentist?" And you say, "Man, I don't know. It's been ages." You know, but the same thing spiritually. When's the last time you thought about the health of your walk with Christ? You know, we get a short-sighted view of our spiritual health. We think, well, it'll just kind of take care of itself like everything else does, and we'll just see what we end up with. But the truth, again, is we're spiritual people. And we've got to first look and see, first of all, am I a Christian? Do I have new and eternal life in Jesus Christ? But secondly, even for us as believers here this morning, this still applies in saying, how is my walk with Christ this morning? If I have eternal life because of Jesus Christ, how is my day in and day out going here? My spiritual reality, is that being fleshed out in my practical reality of my everyday living? And so that's what God's Word serves for us to do. And you might wonder this morning, so even as a church plant, why do we need a vision, right? Why do we need to talk through the vision of being healthy Christians? Well, I'll give you a little instruction from the Bible. And this first passage we're going to read is from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And this is just a kind of an appetizer before we look at some bulk texts here. So you can turn there in your Bibles or look in your listening guide. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." So God's Word tells us that we need a vision, not a vision to do our own thing. Okay, there's a lot of ideas out there. Let's create our own vision, our own goals that we're going to set. The Bible says we need a vision to do God's thing, not our thing, but God's thing, to follow God's will for our lives. If we don't purpose to follow what God's will is for us as Christians, we will throw off restraint. We will not be the man who is blessed by keeping all of God's Word. Because he wants us to be healthy, not necessarily wealthy Christians or physically healthy, because his grace is sufficient for us in all those times when we lack in our health or in physical wealth. But God wants us to be prosperous in his eyes. We want to be the man of this verse that says, "But blessed is he who keeps the law." So I just ask you this as we get started this morning. How is your own spiritual health today? How's your walk with Christ? Is it weak? Is it strong, that pulse of your Christian faith? Is it beating at all? And as we go through Scripture, and this is going to be a few weeks and months ahead now, it's going to take us up to the Christmas season, we're going to hear the doctor's orders of Scripture, if you will, God's Word to us about what it means to be healthy Christians, so that we can give care to each other and help one another become more like Christ. Because we're here, we're a newer fellowship, but if we're not here to become more like Jesus, then what are we here for, right? That's why we're gathering here together. And then to go lead others, to show, you know, the difference that Christ has made in our lives and the difference he can make in their life. So our vision can be summarized in this. Our church, we exist to bring new life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we believe that a healthy Christian is someone who receives new life in Christ, someone who shares that life in Christian community, and then brings that life out on mission to the world around us. So we're going to prepare our hearts now. We're going to be looking at some passages of Scripture. Before we do that, and before you follow along, I'm going to lead us just in a word of prayer this morning. So bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you. We thank you so much for the time that we have to gather here as a church family, Lord. I'm so thankful for each person who's here, Lord, and to be as a new church plant and in a community that definitely needs more salt and light, the good news of Jesus Christ to be brought to it, Lord. And we thank you firstly for the life that you have brought to us as Christians, Lord, and for the fellowship that we have here. And so now, Lord, as a family, we come before you, and we come with our Bibles open, Lord, because we want to be instructed about what your will is for us to be healthy Christians and to live this out in our lives. This is a unique milestone for us, Lord. And so we ask for your help in this time and in the weeks and months ahead, that you would make us more like Christ and that you would lead us out into our spheres of influence, into the different lives that you've given each of us. That we would make Jesus great, and that we would bring others to him. So we need your help in this time, and we pray that you would give us faith to hear and help us to obey what is laid out for us in your word, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first thing we want to talk about is receiving new life, kind of the first pillar of what our vision is going to be. So let's turn our attention to some scriptures here. Luke chapter 5, verse 30 and 32. You guys remember this one? It says, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his, being Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In another passage of Scripture, John 10, verses 7 through 11, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And one more passage to this end from John 5, verse 24. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So what we see from these scriptures that I've just read, spiritual life, receiving new life in Christ, is not something that we just fall into. It's not something that just automatically happens. Scripture says that we literally cross over from death and to life. We pass out of spiritual death and condemnation and into eternal life when we believe in Christ. The Bible says you've got to be born again. The only way that happens is through faith in Jesus. And so what I'm really laying out here is you can't skip this step, is what the Bible says to us. We live in a culture, we live in a day and age where we're all about skipping steps. How can I get to the end goal right away? You know, you get instructions, you look, take the instructions, and what do you do with them as soon as you open up something? You set the instructions aside and immediately jump onto the next step, right? Well, the Bible's clear here. You can't skip the step of receiving eternal life in Christ. You can't bring new life to anybody until you have received life in Jesus yourself. And the world presents a lot of different ideas about here's ways for you, even spiritually, ways to better yourself, ways to improve yourself. There's people I'll talk with at Panera as I'm there either meeting with people or they're working on a message that day. And a lot of people, when I start talking about spiritual things with them, they immediately jump to the ways that they're trying to better themselves or improve our life. But Scripture is clear. What you and I need, it's not improvement to our life. It's not bettering our lives. We need Christ's life in us. That's what Scripture is clear. You can't skip that step. And any talk about spiritual life has to first address our spiritual death. And that's what these passages talk about. We're spiritually dead in our sins apart from God's grace. It doesn't say asleep. It doesn't say just confused and needing to be straightened out. It says that through Christ you pass out of death and into life. And Pastor Colin, next week, will be leading us through Ephesians 2 and what God's Word has to say to us in that. And the point is, our sin separates us from God, and we need Jesus Christ, by His sacrifice, to breathe new life back into us. The Bible's clear. The only way that happens is when you put your trust in Jesus. And it's kind of like thinking about, what kind of treatment can you give to a dead person, someone who is deceased? You know, say a paramedic shows up on the scene and they check for a pulse. That's the first thing they do. If there's been a bad accident, if there's no pulse, they don't administer treatment. They don't start giving advice to that person and saying, here's how you can bring yourself back to life. No, that person, the only way they're going to come back to life is if someone breathes it into them. And that's what Scripture lays out for us here in this passage. You know, there's a lot of multi-step plans out there, a lot of ways to better yourself or improve your life, and then you kind of present those things to God and present those things to Jesus, and then He'll be happy with you. But the Bible says it's not enough. It doesn't stack up. We don't need reviving or resuscitating. You and I need resurrecting, and that's what we get through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the question this morning, what is new life in Jesus? What does it mean when we become a Christian? Is it comfort? Does it mean that you get more money, that God will be providing for your every financial need? Does it mean that all your problems are going to be solved? No, we know it's not those things. It's not even our feelings being changed. It doesn't mean that we're going to be happy all the time. New life in Christ means that your spiritual condition is changed. You receive the real forgiveness of your sins. We receive real peace with God and peace in life. We are freed from our sins. Not that we still don't struggle against sin. I struggle against sin every day, just like every single one of us here. But I'm not a slave to it anymore when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's new life. That's Christ's life in us, not just improving ourselves. And these things, the Bible is clear, they only come to us through believing in Jesus, believing in who He is, and trusting in what He's done. This is what it means to receive new life. Any discussion about our spiritual health, as we talk through the weeks ahead and engage our spiritual condition, any discussion about it, it doesn't start with what we're doing or with what we can do. It starts with what Jesus has done and with what Christ has finished on the cross. That's the starting point for us having and receiving new life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus laid down His life for us so that we could receive God's grace and mercy. So then in applying this to our lives, I ask you some of these questions this morning. Have you ever in your life crossed over from spiritual death and into spiritual life? The Bible says there's no gray area in this. You don't have to be living in a gray area in your life, considering, you know, well, I've done some good things. I'm not sure if God's forgiven me of my sins or not. I'm not sure of my standing with God. If that's you this morning and you're unsure of where you stand in your relationship with God, these scripture passages are telling you, you don't have to be uncertain anymore. Whoever hears Jesus' words, whoever believes in Him, crosses over from death and to life. It's not based upon your work. It's based upon what Jesus finished. And so I plead with you this morning, if you've never crossed out of spiritual death and into new life in Christ, come talk with one of us here this morning about how you can give your life to Christ. Or maybe you know it today. You need to turn away from your own efforts at getting right with God and turn away from wandering and believe in Jesus. Trust in Him and you will have new and eternal life. That's the first application of this passage, because nothing else will stack up. But I think for us as believers, there's more application to this. You know, this morning, it's good to just be reminded that your identity, if you've believed in Christ, you have passed out of death and you are in eternal life. You have new, your condition is changed to never go back again. You are part of what Jesus said in John 5:24. You have passed out of death and into life. And you need to hold fast to that this morning. Because listen, the world is constantly pulling at us to pull us back into those feelings of not being made alive to God, right? And I want to encourage you this morning. I think there's some good challenges with this. You know, in your holding fast to your identity with Christ, how do you respond when you become aware of sin in your life? Does your sin, as a believer this morning, does it grieve you when you are convicted and you become aware of a place where you are not walking the way God has called you to walk? Because if you are holding fast to your new life in Christ, you won't just have worldly sorrow, right? We'll have a godly sorrow that says, God, I'm not just sad that I got caught in my sin, but God, I'm sad that my sin is grieving you. Like, this is not how you want me to live, God, in this particular area, whether it be a desire, whether it be somewhere in our minds, with our thoughts, or in our actions. When we become aware of our sin, if we're holding fast to our new life in Christ, our sin should grieve us and lead us to walk in the way that Jesus has called us to. I think another one, if you're holding fast in your relationship with Christ, if you've received new life in Him this morning, do you still want to grow in your walk with Jesus? Do you have a desire to take God's Word and open it, not just on a Sunday morning, but throughout the week? Do you have that desire to pray and be in communion with God? Really ask this question. For us as believers, it still applies. Where are you going to receive life? Where are you going to be filled up every day? Because I think here's another point of this. Holding fast to our life in Christ as believers, what it does for us is it changes our norms, okay? The world, the norms of the world is to live in a place of guilt or fear or like constant anxiety, always a sense of insecurity. But our norms in Christ should be knowing I'm in a place of forgiveness. My sins are forgiven. My norm should be peace in Christ with just a little bit of worry. But my norm should not be always living out of a sense of guilt and condemnation. My norm as a Christian should not be worry and anxiety and insecurity and only a little bit of peace every now and again. If you're holding fast to your new life in Christ, it should change your norms. And so I ask you these things this morning. How are you dealing with those areas of your life? Maybe it's even in your struggle to persevere and to be faithful. The norm is to always be discouraged when life is hard, when the job is wearing you down, when relationships in life are a burden. The norm of the world is to get discouraged and to give up. But in Christ, the norm is to bring our burdens to Him and persevere. So where are you going to be filled up, even as a Christian this morning? It needs to be Christ. You know, He's the one who continually fills us up. And really, as we walk through the series, we're going to keep talking about what it means to be a believer who's receiving and walking in that new life in Christ. But the second thing I think that Scripture lays out for us and I want to talk about this morning is sharing new life. Okay, so after you receive new life, you're called to then share it as followers of Christ. So let's hear a few passages from God's Word on this. Look either in your Bibles or you're listening, God. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the command from that passage is clear. As believers, after we've received new life in Christ, we are called to now love one another. We're called to be a fellowship. And you can't skip the ingredient of love, God's Word says. It's like when you're baking something and you run out of eggs. You can, I've watched my wife go on a cooking, or baking frenzy, I should say, and she makes good stuff, like lemon cupcakes, if any of you have had those. Those are definitely a hit. Another reason to be at community group. If she ever runs out of eggs, you can find like egg substitute, and you can swap other things in or kind of make it work. But with Christian fellowship, there is no ingredient that you can swap out for love. It's the only thing that distinguishes our fellowship from the other fellowships of the world is that we actually love each other. That's what we're called to be as Christians. People who care for each other, bear one another's burdens. We don't respond to one another the way the world responds to people. You got to have love. Christian fellowship doesn't taste right without that ingredient. Another passage of Scripture, Hebrews 10. I'm going to keep reading a few passages here. Verses 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And again, more instruction in Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13. "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So what are these passages of Scripture getting at for us this morning? Where does this fit in for you and I? Well, it tells us there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. You know, that the whole Wild West idea seems to gain traction with us. You know, the Lone Ranger, he's out there with his guy, Kemo Sabe, you know, and they're out there riding off into the wilderness. For some reason, when we think of our own spiritual health this morning, we don't think about it in relationship to each other. We think of us on our own, riding off into the Wild West, and being able to grow as a Christian, all by ourselves. And the world says, don't let anybody in, right? If you let people into your life, then you've got to deal with your pride, or you've got to deal with areas of shame in your life that you don't want to deal with, or even worse, you've got to deal with other people's pride. Who wants to be around those kinds of people? Or people might, you know, God forbid, share something that's a struggle or a weakness for them, and then I'm going to have to help this person, right? You know, I don't want to do that. I just want to do my Christian life alone and grow by myself, right? We don't have to do that, right? And we kind of get this easy view of Christianity. But the answer from these passages is you can't skip this step either. Scripture commands us to be in fellowship with each other. There's ways we can grow on our own as Christians. But in Christian maturity and in being able to hold fast to Christ, you can't do it on your own. None of us can. We need one another. We're called to love each other because we need it, to exhort one another, to hold fast together. We need to meet together to do what is urging each other to do what is right. And I think the easiest way to, again, a Wild West picture here, it's like comparing the Lone Ranger with the Magnificent Seven, right? We've already talked about a Lone Ranger. He rides off. He's on his own. You know, he's out there kicking butt and taking names. He doesn't need anybody. Other people just slow him down. Other people need to get with his program. But the Magnificent Seven, if you're a Western movie buff, is totally different, right? Maybe some of you guys don't know the storyline. Some of you guys are probably tracking with me. But for those of you that don't know, the Magnificent Seven has a little, it's a Mexican village that's under attack and being raided by bandits. And so they go to America to get the seven best gunfighters they can get. And the seven best gunfighters assemble and classic cowboy action ensues, right? It's not the Lone Ranger riding off on his own. It's the seven guys together. It's a posse, right? And they repel the raiders, and it makes for a great movie. You should check it out. Maybe it's on Netflix, Magnificent Seven. Good old Western movie. But the point I'm making is, as a church, and as individual Christians, we like the idea. It's appealing to be the Lone Ranger riding out there alone spiritually, but it does not work. We fall flat on our faces when we try to go it alone. And we show up on Sunday and say, how's things going? Well, if you haven't been in fellowship with other believers, it's probably been tough. And you know, we put a smile on and we say, oh yeah, you know, things are great. Instead of being in relationship with each other and knowing we don't have to put a face on all the time, we're here to rejoice with things when they're going well and to help each other when things are not going well. As believers, we want to be like the Magnificent Seven, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. We spur each other on towards love and good works. We deal with each other's pride when we are proud and we think we're better than we really are. We deal with each other's shame and weaknesses when we get down in the dumps. As Christians, when we struggle to hold fast to our identity in Christ, we lift one another up. You can't lift yourself up. You need other people to help you do that. And this whole community, not just for us here as believers, this whole community, even in evangelism and in seeking to reach people who are lost and not hearing the gospel, it's going to take nothing short of God working through us and sending us into people's lives to help pull them and lift them to the good news of Jesus Christ. And you wonder, how's God going to reach people? He wants to reach them through you and through us as a fellowship of believers. You say, I get it. I get you're always talking to the point of all this gathering together, but you know, what's the point of it all? Well, Scripture commands it, and it points lost persons to Christ. It points us to Christ. You know, it again, from what we read, whether in good times or in bad times, that's what Christian fellowship does for us. We fight together rather than fighting alone and being defeated. You know, there's ways as an individual you can grow on your own, reading your Bible and reading a book. But, you know, overall, you can't grow in your maturity as a Christian unless you're gathering in fellowship. And that's what our community groups are here to do. And so I ask you this question this morning. Engaging your own health and saying, am I a healthy Christian? How's my spiritual heartbeat in this morning? I ask this first question. How's your commitment to other believers? Are other Christians a priority in your life? If it's not, what are some things that need to change in maybe your daily routine or your weekly routine? if your commitment to Christian fellowship is there, and I'm so thankful for those of us, you know, we do gather in community groups each week. I'm so thankful for the commitment we have to each other. How can you grow in your serving other believers? Not just are you loving the people in your life, but other believers. You know, I think a couple practical ways first is to be a faithful listener. I think that's what Hebrews outlines for us. The only way you can exhort one another is to first be a listener to know how to exhort somebody and what kind of encouragement they need. I know I'm trying to grow in this area. I'm a talker. So I have to learn to close my mouth and just listen sometimes to what's going on in people's lives. I think another way you can grow, or we can grow in serving one another, is being honest and genuine. All right, you don't have to be open about everything going on in your life, all right? Now, people don't want to hear your whole life story, okay? I have to, you know, it's not over-disclosure that people want to hear, but you don't want to be a hard nut to crack all the time. Like, every time somebody asks you how things are going, you just, it's good, and that's it. You know, that's not being faithful to share life in Christian fellowship. And you know, it's funny. Sometimes people who don't know Jesus are more open than we are as Christians. And you know, I'm surprised how open people who don't know Christ are with their lives and with how things are going. I was talking with someone at the diner the other day, and I asked how they were doing, and she opened up with, my wife and I were there eating, and she opened up with how her and her husband were going through some health struggles, and it was really a struggle for their income and to make ends meet and things like that, and she's just trying to make it through right now. We were able to talk about how we have the same struggles and how Christ gives us eternal life and a lasting hope in the midst of all that. And you know, I just wonder as believers, if we could be more honest and genuine with each other, the opportunities for the gospel might surprise us. The ways that we're able to strengthen each other. How about the burdens that you and I carry alone and that are wearing us down? If we open up and share those things, we can carry those burdens together. And we can more glorify Jesus Christ. And sure, it'll take shots at our pride. We won't be able to brag anymore. But it will also lift us out of our struggles. And it will strengthen us as a body of Christ. That's what God's will for us is as a church. So I just want to say, this is the purpose. I know we're a new church. We're just getting off the ground. But this is the purpose of our community groups that we have here. That's why we have those. You know, a lot of people in churches across the country say things like, I feel alone. Or I just wish I had more fellowship, or I feel stuck in a particular sin that I'm dealing with. I'm just me up here saying, well, we want to be a church that fosters genuine Christian fellowship. We don't want anybody to feel alone. We don't want anybody to feel like they're stuck in their sin. We want to be a strong fellowship together. So consider this the formal call to say, if you're on the side of the pool of Christian fellowship and you're kind of just dipping your toe in the water, I want to urge you to just dive right in. All right, let's dive into the pool together. I promise none of us will drown. It's not, there's no deep end. We're going to be okay. Jesus is the lifeguard. All right, let's put it to you that way. So don't be hesitant. And that's the way that even lost persons are going to be gathered to our Christian fellowship. When they see the love that we have for each other, they'll say, I want to be part of that. And it has something to do with Jesus. And I need to hear, what that has to do with Christ and what Christ wants to do in my life. So finally this morning, we've talked about receiving new life. We've talked about sharing new life. One last piece I want to talk about, and what we're going to unfold in the weeks ahead, is bringing new life. How do we do that as followers of Christ? One last passage of Scripture for us to hear this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. It says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So one of the final things we see engaging, am I a healthy Christian? It's looking inward and asking the question and saying, am I an ambassador for Christ? Am I living my life as a sent one? Or am I more like a frozen, chosen one? You know, I'm not living a sent life to reach people with the gospel. The last picture I paint for you this morning is, imagine you're an ambassador of a great country. Or I'm sorry, imagine you're the ruler. You're the big cheese of a great country. And you go to another land and you send an ambassador there and you say, I want you to represent me well in this country. I want people to know how great of a country we are. I want you to tell them how much we care about them. As an ambassador, I want you to engage in good works of service, seek the welfare of people that are around you, not because they earn it or anything. We're going to do it as acts of charity. I want you to get to know people. And when I come back, I want to see all the people you've meet. And so you go back to your country and you take care of things there. And then you come back and you ask the ambassador and you say, how's it going? And he says, well, I didn't really leave the building much. I didn't go out. I didn't talk to people much. I didn't do many good works of service. And, you say, well, tell me some of the people you know. And you say, I don't really know anybody. You know, you're going to have to go with me and I'm going to have to be introduced to them as well. You know, that ambassador would have failed at his job. Right? And I think too often we are too easy on ourselves in this area as Christians. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. That the church is not just here in this auditorium on Sunday morning. That you and I, as the body gathered and as the body scattered, are the church. And we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, not just on Sunday mornings, but in our jobs, in our evenings, when we're out resting around other people. And I'm proud of us as a church. We are getting that. But we've got to keep pushing the ball forward, not just with all the big outreaches we do, but with the one-on-one, the people that God brings into our life. A few things from Scripture that's clear we got to remember here. It's only God who brings new life to people. Okay, only God saves people by His grace. We can't save anybody on our own. We can't take the place of God in a person's life. But know this, God has ordained that the way the gospel gets to people who don't know Jesus is through you and me. That's how I heard the good news of Christ. My uncle shared Jesus with me for 10 years. It's a long time. And I hadn't darkened the doors of a church that was sharing the gospel. It was through him just sharing the good news with me in my life. That's how I came to Christ. And so some practical things. Scripture calls us to regard no one according to the flesh. We can't think things anymore like, well, people aren't interested, or it won't make a difference, or this person's not worth it to me. We cannot think those things any longer because Scripture says we regard no one according to the flesh. You and I used to think the same things about Jesus, and yet he still saved us. Secondly, as ambassadors for Christ, we're supposed to go where people go and be where people are. You know, good ambassadors don't wait for people to come to them. They go out and take some sort of initiative, right? They don't stick around and wait for people to go to them. If people reject them, they don't hang around, but they do actually go in the first place. 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul said, I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. So there's not a whole lot of excuses that stand in the way in light of those scripture passages of what we're called to be. We've got to take the good news of Christ to those who are lost so that they might be reconciled to God. So some final takeaways or things to apply to our lives, if you will. In assessing our health as Christians, are you excited about being an ambassador for Christ? Does that excite you this morning? Or is that a burden? Is that a nuisance or a chore to you? Bringing new life to people, is that even anywhere on our radar this morning? I think that's the challenge of this scripture passage, and that's why it's part of our vision that as a church, we are concerned with bringing new life to other people. I think secondly, I'll ask this question to you. What does your life look like in the area of evangelism? Not just what do you know and what do you think about sharing the gospel, but do you actually do it? Are you actually sharing the gospel with people who need to hear it in your life? Are you serving people? Are you finding ways to gain a window into a person's life, to be a good listener, to care about the burdens that are weighing them down, to rejoice with the joys that your coworkers share with you so that you might win an opportunity to tell them about who Christ is and what he's done for you? A healthy Christian doesn't just think about evangelism, but they actually do it. They don't just, you know, relational evangelism is key, but you don't go in a relationship for 3 years without ever telling somebody about Jesus. I'd say it's more like a 3-week time frame. It's you can't get Jesus to somebody after 3 weeks of being around them every day, we should be challenged, I think. It's not a blanket statement, but just to, I think, to put the screws to us there on that point. You know, healthy Christians pray to God for chances to share the gospel. They don't just wish they could do it. They ask God for chances to do that. And that's where it all begins. If we're scared to talk about Christ, if we have a lot of reasons for why we're not getting opportunities to do that, those are understandable reasons. I'm scared to share the gospel with people many times too. I have to pray every morning and ask God to give me chances to do that and to be a witness for Him. And guess what? He answers those prayers. So I urge you to, in your goal of being a healthy Christian, ask God for chances to share Jesus with other people. Ask Him to give you a willing heart and let Him give His strength to you to do that in this area. So guys, we're a new church plant. We're in our 8th month now. I've mentioned this already, but as a church, we want to be healthy Christians leading each other to receive new life, to be sharing this in Christian fellowship, and to be bringing that life to other people. That's why we exist as a church. And I'm encouraged by what God has done and is continuing to do in this fellowship. And I can't wait for the weeks ahead as we look at God's Word and as we continue to grow. And I want to leave you with this last thing, God's promise for us in this, from 2 Corinthians 3. It says that as we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord, it says we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as God is faithful to us, and He's gracious to us to transform us and make us these things, we can in turn be faithful to God. And that's why we end every week with communion, because Jesus has made all of these things possible for us. The new life that we're talking about receiving, it came to us through Jesus living a perfect life in our place. The new life that we had to get from our sins being forgiven, it came through us through Jesus being crucified on the cross. He paid in full for our sins. There's no guilt or condemnation that will hold us back now from being able to be healthy followers of Christ. He's risen again. And that's what communion serves to remind us of, that Jesus has given us this new life. So we've shared a lot of things this morning. If you're not a follower of Christ and you have that gray area this morning, I urge you to please hold off from taking communion. It's not for you, but to consider your need, to not trust in your own efforts, but to accept what Christ has done on your behalf and trust in Him and receive that life today. But for us as believers, thank God for where you're walking out this vision well this morning, but anywhere that it's not, confess that to Him this morning. And ask that God would help you and help us as a church body be healthy Christians so that we can be the instrument and the tools He wants us to be here in this community.